Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Welcome back, everyone, to our podcast on Sefer Yonah. This is Michael Hatton in Jerusalem, and today we are going to be discussing the final events of Chapter 4 and beginning the process of attempting to analyze the story as a whole. Remember that last time Jonah was very upset over the fact that the city of Nineveh had been spared. He called God out, effectively, on his mercy and his kindness and his long-suffering patience, having forgiven the people of Nineveh. But in his description of God, he left out one of the most important attributes, one of the things that Moshe had mentioned in Exodus chapter 34, which was God's capacity for truth. I pointed out last time that, of course, Yonah is introduced to us as somehow connected to the attribute of truth. His father's name is Amittai, and obviously that's literal, but it's also figurative. Yonah, the one who is a son of truth, as it were, or truthfulness. And now, as it were, he calls God out for his lack of truth, whatever that might mean. At the same time, God's kindness and forgiveness are responsible for sparing Nineveh, and that has grieved Yonah very, very much, so much that he wishes to die. God responds to him, verse number 4, and says, "Hahetev haralach," which is translated as, "Are you that deeply grieved?" It's an interrogative. It is a question. It's called Heha She'ela Hahetev. Are you really that aggrieved? Are you seriously that upset? Are you justifiably that angry? Yonah leaves the city and places himself to the east of the city, prepares for himself a booth, and sits in the shade of that booth, waiting to see what will happen with the city. So it's kind of interesting. Yonah has completed his mission, but he's not going home. He plants himself to the east of the city and waits to see what will happen. And something does happen in verse number 6. Vayiman Hashem Elokim Kikayon. God prepared or designated a Kikayon, which grows up over Jonah and provides shade over his head to save him from his discomfort, me'ra'ato, in verse number 6. And Jonah was so happy about that kikayon, a great happiness. So the identity of the kikayon is in doubt. The commentaries are not sure exactly what it is. In modern interpretations, it's understood to be a castor oil plant. That is not necessarily certain. What we do know from the story, obviously, it is some sort of a plant with verdant and luxurious foliage. It must have large leaves that could provide Jonah with shade, and perhaps it's a fast-growing plant, because it seems like it just grows up overnight. Interestingly, in modern Hebrew, kikayon turns into an adjective, kikayoni, which means something which is temporary or ephemeral. And this, of course, is based upon what happens next, which is that even as Yonah is overjoyed, simcha gedola, by the way, I should point out that his great joy parallels the ra'ah gedolah in the first verse of chapter 4. He was so deeply aggrieved when Nineveh was spared, and now he is so overwhelmingly happy when the kikayon grows over his head to provide shade. But it is a very short-lived plant, because in verse number 7, God designates, same word, vayiman, God designated a worm at the crack of dawn on the next day, and that worm struck the kikayon such that the kikayon faded and dried up. And verse number 8 reports that as the sun rose, God designated a deafening eastern wind, which struck Yonah with its heat, with its power, and the power of the sun, and Yonah became faint and asked of God to die. Verse number 8, Vayomer tov moti mechayai, better is my death than my life. So interestingly now, something strange has happened. The incredible joy that Yonah felt is quickly overturned to become incredible pain and suffering, and all of this accomplished through the agency of the kikayon, this mysterious plant, and the tola'at, and the worm that quickly decimates it. I'll point out that the word vayaman, the word that introduces God's designation of these things, is the very same word that was used in chapter 2 to speak about the fish being designated to swallow Jonah, and we've already talked about the fact that chapter 2 and chapter 4 are parallel in the same way that chapter 1 and chapter 3 are parallel. And in both of these chapters, effectively, we have Yonah experiencing something incredibly uncomfortable, dangerous, lethal, and deadly. In chapter 2, it was, of course, the fish being swallowed in the belly of the fish. And in chapter 4, it is what happens after the kikayon is destroyed by the worm, which is this incredibly hot and uncomfortable and deadly eastern wind, which beats down on his head. Eastern wind, which finally, the meaning of the story is indicated in the final three verses. God turns to Yonah and he says, are you truly aggrieved over the kikayon? And Yonah says, yes, in fact, so deeply that I want to die. God said, you cared about the kikayon, which you did not work for and which you did not grow, which appeared overnight and perished overnight. Should I not care about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not yet know their right hand from their left, and many beasts as well? The book effectively ends with a rhetorical question. You, Yonah, showed such care and joy about this kikayon. But the kikayon was not the product of your labors. You didn't plant it. You didn't raise it. You didn't water it. You didn't care for it. And when it perished, you were so aggrieved. Shouldn't I as well show compassion for the city of Nineveh with 120,000 inhabitants, as well as many beasts, many animals? So it's sort of a strange response. It's almost like a no-brainer, you might say. Here is Jonah so upset about a plant, and yet he doesn't seem to be upset that the city of Nineveh, the fate of the city, hung in the balance, and the people of Nineveh could have perished. So we're sort of left pondering, what sort of a character is this Yonah? How could he care so much about, you might call it a houseplant, and yet when it comes to the people of Nineveh, he could care less? That's effectively God's question, if we read it according to the straightforward understanding. And if that, in fact, is the question that God is asking of Yonah, then I would respectfully submit the story makes no sense. Because it is so obvious to anyone, certainly to a prophet of God, that people are worth more than a plant. What might God actually be trying to communicate to Yonah through these final mysterious visitations? Through the kikayon, through the worm, through the eastern wind? All of them striking Yonah as he waits outside of the city to see what would happen, which is itself curious, because we already know what happened. The people of Nineveh repented, and God determined not to destroy them. Yonah completed his mission. He should have gone home. He should have gone home a happy man. But he remained behind, outside of the city, expecting something to happen. But what actually happened wasn't what he expected. What actually happened was some sort of a conversation with God in which God upbraids him, effectively, for showing more compassion and more love to a silly plant than to human beings and animals that inhabit the city of Nineveh. So I'm not answering any of the questions that we've asked at this point. I'm attempting to strengthen those questions. And over the course of the next couple of classes, really our last podcasts on Sefer Yonah, we will begin to explore some possible interpretations as to what, in fact, Yonah is really thinking and God is really responding in this moment. So join us next time, God willing, for our final podcasts as we begin to put the pieces together of the analyses that we have been doing. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.